Let's just pray for the word and then we'll get on. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word, that you have a word in season that will bring wisdom. Your word is wisdom, and we pray for that word to run swiftly and be glorified amongst us here today. So bless us, Lord, as we hear. We pray that we would mix what we hear, not with religion, but with faith. And I ask for a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon me, Lord, and upon each person hearing this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brilliant. Okay, turn in your Bibles. In Philippians chapter 4, we're going to just start with verse 17, and then we're going to look at other verses around it. Not that I'm looking for a gift, and he's speaking actually about money. Not that I'm looking for money, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. New King James says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited. That's the NIV. May be credited to your account. Now, I have been for months praying about this particular season of preaching. And I have had to wait, really, for God's timing to bring this word. And if you're here this morning, it's because I believe you need this word. And actually, I believe people that will listen on the podcast will need to hear this word. And the subject is about blessing and being blessed as God's people. The motivation for this message is not actually to take money off you. So relax. Relax. This isn't about me asking you to give, but teaching and training you about how to live a blessed life in God. And Paul writes this to people who have given to his work. He is in another place, location, serving God. And these people have got together, given some money to send to actually God's work through Paul. And Paul speaks about, I am not looking for money, but I am actually desiring you to actually receive financially. Isn't that what that means? I'm desiring you to be credited. Do you know what? If you've been credited in your account, what does that mean? You've got money coming in. Does that? And so Paul speaks about if somebody is giving into God's work, his mindset is you'll have money coming in. I am seeking you to be credited. And for months I've been kind of meditating and praying about this kind of series. We're going to be doing a series on receiving and reaping financially. Receiving and reaping financially. But I am aware of sometimes the struggle that people have to hear people preach about money in church. That I think we need to get over that, because I think Jesus spoke about money so much more than a lot of other subjects. If you read the Gospels, Jesus spoke about money a lot. And therefore we need to understand God's mind on finances. We have to have the mind of Christ on money. Money is something that affects us all every day of our lives. It affects me and it affects you. And Paul is actually saying something that is really strong in our heart as a leadership. Pastor Andrew is not here this weekend, but she and I have been praying. And what's really hit our hearts is that you who give, we want you to receive back. We want you to get back what God himself wants to give you. And so the heart motivation isn't, and the mindset isn't give, 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 and give dry. It's giving and receiving. Okay, so if you get that mindset before we kind of launch into the nitty-gritty, then you're going to have the mind of Christ. The trouble is, there's been a lot of error in the body of Christ and teaching on the subject of money. People have gone off on one, as I would say. And there are actually two ditches where we should be on the road of truth. There are two ditches which people go into. And you probably would know what those ditches are, but if you don't, I'll tell you what those ditches are. One of the ditches, which you don't want to go into, is this self-seeking prosperity message, where everything is about money, where every preach is about, we want money, or you need to pray about money, or you need to pray about increase, or you need to go after being rich. And that kind of teaching is actually error, because it makes people very selfish and very centered on their own bank accounts and their own wealth, and all they want to do is know God and get rich. Okay, so that's ditch number one. But both ditches are awful and not right. The other ditch is you're to give and give until you're poor. And you're to stay poor, struggling in your life financially. And that ditch is the poverty ditch. So the ditch number one is the super prosperity. The ditch number two is the poverty ditch, where to be a Christian, particularly if you're a Christian minister, you should be poor. You should be not quite having enough. Hello? And it is important for us to walk in truth with a pure heart when it comes to money. And Jesus always centers us and brings us down the road of truth. And his Spirit wants to stop us erring one way or another. He wants us walking in the truth that will set us free. Jesus actually said, you can't serve God and money. But he actually used the term mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. This is in Matthew chapter 6. What was he saying? He was recognizing that there is a spiritual power behind money. And that's why it's called mammon. And this power is out to get you seeking and kind of trap you into a, all I want is more money. And that spirit actually wants you to serve it. So the devil actually, Satan wants you to serve money. Because money, if you serve it, it will master you. Because whatever you serve is your master. Yeah? Whatever you serve is your master. So Jesus says you have to choose. If you're going to follow me, who you will serve. Because that is a choice that each one of us need to continually make. But if you read your Bible, let me make you happy for a moment. Although I trust all of this is making you happy, because truth does actually make you full of joy. If you read your Bible, you will know that God is generous. What did he do for a widow who was making her last meal for her son? He sent a prophet who said, give me the first bit, and then your food will never run out. So God sent this prophet, was going to this widow's life to actually prosper her. She was in poverty and in need and lack. And his desire was to bless her all the way through trouble. Don't you love God? That he loves us so much he wants to bring us out of trouble into blessing. That's his heart. And so what happened was, she had to give the first part of that last meal to God. And because she did what was asked, she never ever went without. What happened to Peter when Jesus had him sowing his boat into the ministry, where actually his business was being used for the gospel? What happened? He said, let's go fishing, launch out into the deep for a catch. So this is someone who is actually saying, I want to follow God, I want to do what he says. Jesus says, right, because you've sown into my ministry, I can't not bless you. I can't not bless you. Are you hearing that? If you've sown into the ministry of Jesus, God cannot not bless you. Because that's his heart. And he said, launch out into the deep for a catch. They had so much business coming that they had to get their partners to help with the amount. And so Peter, who left everything to follow Jesus, got more in one day's fishing than he had had for months, I believe, because he had to use his partners to get the catch. Peter, who said to Jesus once, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus said, no one who leaves houses, family, fields will not fail to receive. Do you hear the language? Because so much of our mindset in the British culture and in the poverty mindset is that we are going to give because we're good Christians. But you can't read the Bible without saying giving, yes, but also, on top of that, there's a receiving going to happen in my life. Come on. No one will fail to receive a hundredfold return. Jeepers. Creepers. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. It looks good in the words of Christ. Not in the preacher's words, but the words of Christ. But it's not self-seeking people. It's a people who are devoted to follow Jesus and do what he asks of them. And so Jesus taught this principle in Matthew chapter 6. Come on, let's look there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Thank you, Jesus. You want to credit our account because we give. Hallelujah. You see, you can't buy God, but you can't get away from it through the scriptures that God gives to those who give. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you're a giver, you're supposed to have leftovers. Say leftovers. Not just enough. What do we mean by leftovers? More than. Yeah? Leftovers. I like leftovers. I like leftovers at the end of the month. Does anybody like leftovers? Because what else can you do? Not just for selfish reasons. What else could we do if we had 100 houses? Hello? What can we do for missions? What could we do, church? I believe we are going to see an acceleration of financial blessing on the church, which means you. that is going to resource more missions and blessing on your life. The two things. Because God said to Abraham, he didn't just say, leave and I'll bless you. His plan was to bless Abraham and bless the nations through Abraham. So actually we're a channel of blessing, not a reservoir or a dam that's locked up into our own thing. We're a channel of blessing. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, after speaking to his disciples about not worrying about their life, their clothes, their housing, everything about their lives, he said, verse 33, and I think this is a landmark scripture for those who want to see the blessing of God on their finances. Come on. And on their business. This is something you need to kind of highlight in the scriptures if you want to see God bless you. And it's not wrong to see and have that desire for God to bless you. God loves blessing you. And he loves blessing me. But we've got to become convinced of it and get rid of this poverty mentality, but also this selfish mentality. I know people, they can be young or old, who pursue wealth, and I want to tell you, it'll end in tears. There'll be family breakdown, there'll be all kinds of things, but if you pursue what Jesus says to pursue, and blessing comes in more than you can contain, there's actually no sorrow with that. Blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So Jesus said here, verse 33, these are the words of Christ, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these thangs, as they say in America, or things in English, all these things will be added. Do you know if they're added? If you add something, you keep adding things, there's an increase, isn't there? So Jesus said, here, I want you to know about the secret of heaven's provision on your life. The priority of your life and the priority of my people needs to be, I am going to seek God's reign and God's will in everything first. In my family, in my business or working life, in my leisure time, Lord, what do you want to do? I'm going to seek your rule and reign first. And then Jesus promises, what a great promise, by going after him, he will make sure stuff goes after us. He will add all things. I have had years of living pursuing Jesus. I haven't done it perfectly. I am still living under the grace of God. In my current season, I'm sure there's more I could do to please God, but praise God, Jesus pleases him and I'm not under pressure because he is my righteousness and my peace. I'm striving for the things ahead, but I'm not condemned about where I am, basically. But all the way through my life, as a Christian, I have decided, right from the beginning, when I turned to Jesus and began to follow him, I began to learn these principles of seeking first the kingdom, putting God first in everything. And that began to affect my money. Anything that was coming in, it affected me. And Jesus actually told me 3 years after being saved to sell my house, to leave my job and follow him. I didn't know where, I didn't know what I was going to be doing. But I sold up and left everything. And as I've gone through life, I have found the faithfulness of Jesus to that word, that everything has been added. When I haven't had an income and I've served him and I've gone around preaching the word of God, both in this nation and many other nations, traveling with Pastor Andrea all over the world preaching. Sometimes people wouldn't give me a penny. But God made sure all things were added. Our rent was always paid. And we always had leftovers. Because girls like makeup. They like clothes. And we didn't preach just to be poor. We preached that other things could be added. We gave ourselves to the Lord so that we could see addition. And it is my experience that this is the truth. It is the truth because it's the Word of God, but it's the truth in my experience. I have discovered that God is great at blessing and He adds no sorrow with it. So we're to expect Him to provide housing, clothes. Now, each one of us has a particular call and a particular grace on us in what we're called to do. And the blessing on your life will go with that call. Right? We all have different calls, but the blessing of God will be upon you if you do life Jesus' way. All I need and leftovers will happen as I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, let's go back to Philippians, and we're going to just have a look at these verses. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you change mindsets today and that you are seeking to bless the givers. There are so many in this church who have given. And if you're visiting today, the Lord knows about your account. Because we have a heavenly bank account. I don't know if you know that. Credited to your account is a heavenly account. And I do know that we've got so many faithful givers, faithful tithers, faithful sowers, people who give to missions and to the projects and to the building here. And I tell you, I am seeking for you to receive. We're just going to unpack this a little bit more. Paul says in verse 10, let's read this from Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you at last you've renewed your concern for me, your care for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Say, being content. Oh, that's the spiritual position of where you're at right now. Whatever your circumstances, being content. I've learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. Now, isn't it interesting that that verse is coupled with provision? Do you think that's interesting? We quote that scripture in every other context, but it's actually written in the context of financial giving and actually receiving. Now, Paul says here, you actually have flourished again in your love and care for me by giving. Now, let me make something really clear. People think love is just words in our culture. That if you love someone, you say it 50,000 times. And it's nice to say, I love you. I'm not against that. That's quite nice. I think I said it to somebody this morning. I love you. While we were here. I do. I love people. And it's okay to say that. But the chief expression of love is giving. God is love, and God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the main expression of love is giving. Yes? And the word of God says in Romans 8, how shall not he who gave us his own son, he didn't withhold Jesus, not also give us with him all things? So God's saying, because of his love, he's given us Jesus. And some Christians say, I've got Jesus, I don't need a bed, I can sleep on the floor, I've got Jesus, everything's okay. Jesus doesn't say that in the word. He said, I give you Jesus and all things. Romans 8, if you need the reference, read that. All things. I'm just trying to establish truth. And Paul is saying here, you, because you loved me and God's work, it's like giving to God when you gave to that ministry. You loved me, you love God's work, so you gave into my ministry. That's why he's saying, I am seeking what's being credited to your account. I'm actually believing that you're going to get credit into your bank account. Now, Paul actually balances this out because he's basically saying, I'm trusting God, not your giving. I'm not trusting gifts and things around me. I'm trusting God. And he said, I've learned to be content, whether in lack or in plenty. Why? Because Paul didn't seek money. He sought God and his will. He sought first the kingdom. And what happens to kingdom seekers? All things will be added. Yes? So Paul was saying, I trust God. Now, I've been in situations where, well, I don't know, you know, when we first went out to do God's will in preaching and ministry and not having any kind of definable income. I've actually thought, well, we don't actually have anything here. Well, what should we do here? So it doesn't look like I've got enough. But in that, I learned to trust God. Because I believe that we all need to go through the tests. Can I say the tests? Of not having, and the test of having lots. Both are testing. It's how you respond to not having. Do you continue to trust God, or do you have a downer on the Lord and complain about provision? Or do you say, my faith's in God, he's a good God, he's generous, he gives liberally, I'm going to make sure I'll keep seeking first the kingdom, and he promises, I'm going to trust him to add everything that I need. And so, who is your source? Because what tests us when we haven't got much is, who is our source? Is your job your source? It's a good question. Is your bank of mum and dad your source? Is your inheritance or your pension your source? Who do you trust for provision? And Paul says, I have learned to be content. I can do all things, not through my job, not through trusting people, but through Christ, who empowers me, strengthens me, and provides for me in everything. Amen. So I don't get into a panic. I trust God. Now, the prosperity test is another all kind of different kind of test. Because prosperity test means when people get rich, often they go and play a lot harder and don't seek first the kingdom. Do you know people like that? Oh, we can afford to do this, we can afford to do that, let's just keep doing it, let's just keep going. Then they stop seeking first the kingdom because actually they're seeking first pleasure. because they can afford the pleasure. And that will end in loss of some kind, because that's actually not the way to live in the road of truth. You'll end up in a ditch. So we need to learn to navigate our lives through trusting him and seeking first his kingdom in lack and in plenty. I believe that word can speak to everybody here today. Who is your source? Now, I had this picture when I was preparing. And it describes this, who you're kind of connected to, who you're hitched up to in terms of provision and blessing in your life. And if you think about an old train engine, the engine of a train, and it's very old, and it actually hasn't got many years left of success. In fact, it could easily break down. Now, imagine I or you are the carriage behind the engine. And how does a carriage move forward? It links up to that engine, doesn't it? It's connected to, hitched up to that old engine. Now, the world system, which is your job or trusting your own ability with your finances, if you get hitched up to that engine, let me tell you, it will break down. Because the world system of finances is actually set up to fail. Only the kingdom of heaven system is actually set up to work. And remember, God doesn't want anybody in poverty. Jesus became poor so that we might become rich in him. He took the curse, and if you've been anywhere where there is poverty, you will know it's a curse. And if you've lived in poverty yourself, you will know it's a curse. And Jesus came to restore blessing to the world. Amen. So imagine if your life is, you're connected to your income so much you just hold on to that old engine. You will never get to where God has you in your destiny and in the blessing and purpose of God for your life, hitched up to your job. I don't believe that our work should be our sole income. I believe God has other ways. Supernatural ways. I mean, he can use ravens to feed people. If he can do things, you better open your mind to how God's going to get the blessing into your life. Amen. But imagine you unhitch from that old engine and you hitch up with Jesus and his way, his kingdom way, which is doing his word. You get connected. You're like that carriage that steps into, I'm latching onto God's power. He's going to lead me. And remember, you've got to be on the track. What's the track? The engine's pulling you along a track. That's God's word, God's way. Do what he says. He will lead you into all things added. And in that carriage, things will just keep coming on. And it will never break down. And I want to say something. You will never get to the destiny of God unless you unhitch from the world system and come into the kingdom system of financial blessing. Our destiny, I believe God wants the church to have a flow of provision that is so amazing. And this is why we need a pure heart, not for ourselves, but to be a blessing. To be blessed, to be a blessing. I believe if you put finances in our hands, God can trust us. Providing we've proven we're trustworthy. I think there's a test in each one of our lives. Are you trustworthy with your money? Can God trust you? What do you do with your money? Is it just a spend, spend, spend mentality? Or is it just you, you, you? Can God really trust you with increase? Because if you do what you do with a little, you're going to do what you do with a big bit. I've known people who say, I'll start giving when I'm rich. We need to teach our children to start giving with 10p. Because if you're faithful with a little, God can entrust you with true riches. Are you faithful? Are you hitched up to your job as your source, your family, your inheritance? Or are you saying, God, I'm going to seek first the kingdom and trust you completely that all things will be added? That old train is going to break down, but the kingdom train is going to prosper and is going to power through every age and every generation into the blessing and the goodness of God for this world. Not just for the church, but for the world. Last year, we as a church took an offering, and we're going to do it again this year, for the poor in Mongolia. And that meant we weren't just focused on Christmas for us, who are rich. Hello? Do you know what I mean? If somebody gives me a present, it's like, thanks, but I don't actually need it. It's more than I need. And as a church, we took £6,000 to give to the poor in Mongolia. Imagine what we could do if there was an increase of finances and blessing to feed the poor in the parts of the world that actually are desperate for food. What can we do? But are you faithful with what you have? Because you can't blame the church per se. Because we all stand before God. We'll have to give an account with what we did, with what we were given. But givers need to come into this mindset, which is biblical, of receiving. Can I have the next scripture? Well, next slide up. Verse 15 of Philippians 4. Moreover, as you Philippians know that in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, isn't it interesting, not your acquaintance with me, acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, only you. Giving and receiving. Now, that means the Bible doesn't just put giving without receiving. There's a giving and, isn't there? Okay, you read it in the word there, Philippians 4:15, giving and receiving. Can I have the next slide, please? The next slide is speaking about, it's really how God says, givers receive. The next one, sowers reap. Next one, tithers come into abundance. Okay, so it's not just receiving, reaping, and abundance without the giving, sowing, and tithing. And it's not just sowing, tithing, and giving without the receiving, reaping, and abundance. Are we all in school today? Yes. Did we catch that? Yes. The Bible always puts these things together. And I think sometimes, you know, we think ourselves poor. We don't have an expectation when we give into the offering. We don't have an expectation when we tithe. And I believe God wants to raise the expectation in your life that if you give, you will receive. If you sow, you will reap. And if you tithe, there will be an abundance. Tell somebody next to you, this is the word of God and I'm loving it. It's usually people that don't give that have a problem on true biblical blessing. It's interesting. True biblical blessing. And you know what? If your heart is for what Jesus says and wants, then you'll love this message. You'll be loving this. And you know what as well? There was a time when I was challenged by messages like this. And we can all change. I remember sitting in a meeting when somebody brought a message about giving and receiving, and I was like, don't like this. I don't want to do this. Why should I? And you know what? I think sometimes it's fear that holds people back more than anything. They don't actually believe that if they let go to the Lord and give, they can trust Him to look after them. And we have to break that fear by hearing the truth, because faith in who God is and what He promises breaks that spirit of fear. And verse 19, we often quote it, but this is in the context of those who have given. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Go on, let's say it together. I don't care what your translation is. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. It doesn't say my God might. It says my God shall. He will supply. That means God is your source. He's your supplier. He's your provider. All your needs. Not one of them missing out. According to His poor mentality of heaven. God is not poor. He owns everything. He is rich. I tell you, when you go to heaven, you'll go, oh, okay, so this is heaven. Jesus became poor because He became actually part of the fall. Adam and Eve weren't poor. God actually says there's some gold. If you read Genesis, there's a bit of gold there and it's good. Anybody there? God says gold is good. Actually, Paul says it's like a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a savor before God. Your offering is like, it's not filthy, it's not dirty, because you gave it to God's work. It's sweet. It's actually, God smells it and goes, I love their giving. And because I love it so much, I'm going to supply according to my riches and glory. Oh, I've got to move on, haven't I? I'm just getting excited about the real truth, about who Jesus is and what He says about giving and receiving. Now, I'm going to finish with this, and giving should start with this, but I'm going to finish with this today. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Hallelujah. You enjoying the word of God today? If not, well, I pray that you will enjoy it when you repent. Because there's joy when we change and come into God's mind. And if you really do study with a true mind, not your kind of old mindset, but your true mind renewed by the word, then actually you'll have the mind of Christ of how actually He doesn't want us selfish, but He wants us blessed. Hey? And I know some of your circumstances. I don't know all of you, but I know some of you need the Lord to really need to understand that the Lord wants to bless you. It's so important to you that you hear this message. You might be in a time of challenge and you just need to know God wants to bless you. But there is a pathway and there's a way to walk. Isaac, he was in a time of famine personally. And in the nation, there was a time of famine. And God says, stay where you are. I'm going to bless you. Don't move on. I'm going to bless you. Don't need to leave when there's famine. In fact, if you do leave, famine is actually the train you're hitched to. Not God. He says, stay in the land. I'm going to bless you. So Isaac had some seed and he began to sow in the land. And the scripture says in 1 year, because of the blessing of God, he reaped 100-fold return. Wow. Isn't that amazing? But can you just stand a little bit more teaching? I know it's been a long message so far. Are you okay? Yeah. Just a bit more. Yeah. Just need to land and finish today. Tithing is a separate thing from sowing. Not everybody knows that. Tithing is different to sowing. And always, with all of our income as God's people, the first is the tithe. The first giving is the tithe. Okay? And a tithe is not 3%. It's not 6%. It's not, what do I have in my wallet today? It's 10% of your whole income. That's what the word tithe means. And you know, if Jesus is Lord, and we need to understand that Jesus in Matthew 23 upheld the tithe. He actually said you ought to have given a tenth of everything coming in. And he was speaking to the Pharisees about mint and cumin. And he said, yeah, you ought to. Not, you don't need to not get, you don't need to give the tithe. He actually upheld the tithe in Matthew 23. So if you've heard teaching to the otherwise, it's wrong. Okay? Tithing is actually something that Jesus upheld. Giving 10% of all your income. Now, what does that mean? If you have a pay rise, your tithe goes up. Some people are still giving today what they gave 10 years ago. They started tithing, but they haven't managed their account. Okay, so we need to make sure that inheritance is tithed, shares and other increase is tithed, whatever the increase comes, there is 10% of that. And it's first. Now, I just want to read this verse 6, and we'll just look at this about the blessing, really, the blessing of tithing. If we could just look at this, not with, oh no, the obedience of tithing. I mean the obedience that leads to blessing of tithing, okay? I want to talk about blessing. I, the Lord, do not change. There it is. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? God's answer is in tithes and offerings. So he says, not just tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. It's the only time we're allowed to test God. Test me in this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Who says it? The Lord. And do we seek first the kingdom? Yes. Therefore we seek first his lordship. He is Lord over this issue of finances. Now, as we give 10%, God promises to open the floodgates of heaven. Now, I think sometimes we kind of just quote this, but don't believe it. Do you know there's something wrong with people who just know scripture but don't believe it? Yeah? And God wants us to respond to his promise with faith. By faith and patience you inherit the promise. Do you want to inherit this promise? Anybody? I want to inherit this promise. Not for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons. Now, I have observed in the years of being a pastor and previous, tithers are blessed. I can't tell you. I just know it. I just have observed it. And over the years, it's proven. You don't tell straight away. When you first start tithing, you don't kind of go, well, where are those windows opening then? You know, it's a faithfulness thing. It's a test of faithfulness. But those who pursue, maintain, and settle the issue. You see, I have a standing order in my account every month set up. I don't even think about the tithe as mine, because the scripture says it's not. It says it belongs to him. That's what it means to rob God. You know, if you take something that's not yours, that's being a thief. And so, actually, your tithe already belongs to God, whether you take it yourself or not. God says, 10% is mine. And I just settled it. I don't even think. Yeah, you know, and the thing is, you can do this and break free of fear and selfish and pulling everything to yourself mentality. You can do this. And you can do it just because God says to do it. But let me tell you, there's a freedom in it. But when we do it and we believe, the windows of heaven will be opened. God will pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough. Have you ever thought about that? Room enough to contain it? Just have a moment thinking. Room enough to contain. What does that look like to you? Good? Not so good? And I actually know that it doesn't just mean money. Because tithing opens up the blessings, the windows of heaven on your family, on your kids, on your relationships. It actually opens up the windows of heaven on your ministry, on your fruitfulness. It actually opens up opportunities that you wouldn't have if you didn't open this door, really, through tithing to the provision and blessing of God. And so God actually blesses people when they respond to doing what he asks with the tithe. And it's actually a happy thing. It's a joyful thing. And he brings spiritual blessing. And God says he promises to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, Dan, do you mind me using this example? Kaz, I hope you don't mind. Dan and Kaz, seek first the kingdom in this house. They're an amazing couple. They serve on the youth ministry, have a young family, and they just recently decided to do their kitchen up. And Dan's been working, I think, for 2 or 3 days on it. And things have been happening. I know Kaz has been busy too. And they had somebody in, and the person who came to fit a radiator actually saw the gas pipes were made of plastic. Now, if you know anything about that, you need to know that gas pipes are never made of plastic. They're usually copper, aren't they? Am I right? And they're very dangerous. It could blow up the street, let alone this family. And I believe God has rebuked the devourer on this couple who tithe. Nothing bad has happened to them. And sometimes I talk to people, why aren't my things working in my life? Why aren't I seeing this happen? What's wrong here? I just say, do you tithe? And some people get mad with that question. But actually, it's a God question. Are you going to return to me through this? It's not my question, it's God. And I believe that things don't happen to you if you're a tither. I believe the blessing of God is on everything in your life, in the will of God, if you're a tither. And your fruit won't fall to the ground. Some people's fruit just goes to nothing. Money goes through their hands. They seem to have a lot of income, but it goes, seems to do nothing. I believe that God's word is true, and that he has a way. If we hitch up to him, get on track with his plan, we will see all things added and the windows of heaven open to pour out a blessing. Now, last slide. Stay with me, just one more slide. Somebody in 1940, years ago I know, decided to test this principle of tithing and sowing. His name was Perry, Mr. Perry, and he was a farmer. And he decided that he would test this principle along with other farmers who didn't tithe. And all these farmers started with 360 kernels of wheat. Okay? That's not many, is it? Started with 360 kernels of wheat. And with that 360, Mr. Perry tithed 36. So he gave 36 away to the Lord. And in the first year, this is his yield. He only took sometimes a small little bathroom to plant those few grains of seed. The second year, after tithing the income and the increase, he then planted 24 feet by 60 feet. The third year, it took 0.75 an acre, and all the time, every year of increase, he would tithe. And remember, the other farmers aren't tithing. They're keeping 100% and sowing 100%. And in the natural, you would think the 100%ers would do better than the tithers. Isn't that how people think? The 100%ers do better than the tithers. Right. Year five, 230 acres. Year six, 2,666 acres. And all of that is through tithing. Now, what Mr. Perry wanted to know is, financially, and after all the yield of 100% from the other farmers, what did they bring in? Was his more blessed than theirs? Was 90% better than 100%? Well, let me tell you the result. The result was Mr. Perry's income was 10 times, more than 10 times, than that of the other farmers. He had a profit of £288,000. The other farmers had £21,000. All because the windows of heaven were opened on his farming, his business, his work, his financial life. God poured out a blessing he couldn't contain. Mr. Perry proved what is true, the word of God. And generosity and tithing is part of God's plan for you to prosper. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.